Happy 2026, everyone, from FreePod. It's Tim Connors here, and I am down at Mort's Studio for our first podcast interview of the year for FreePod. I am here with Mr. Mike Martin. Mike, I would just like to say hello to you. You have been a true friend to Freeport for so many things, but really the true foundation of you, I guess you would say, in this community is Mort's. Welcome.
Sure. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me. It sure is. I was born and raised in this bar, and my wife and I are so lucky and blessed to continue the tradition and continue the legacy. It's quite an honor.
So tell me about this. How long, I know it had different names, but how long has this bar been Mort's?
In 1984, my dad Mort and my uncle Saint took over this building, took over this bar from another name. Their name was the Martins, but spelled with an I. But in 84, it changed from the Highlander Lounge to Mort and Saints, which still has name recognition throughout, honestly, not just the city, but throughout the country. So many people have come and gone, and they always remember Mort and Saints. So in 1984, they partnered up and started what is now Mort's. And my dad bought out my uncle Saint in 1990. And there it is. Just change it to Mort's. He was the head honcho. He was the man behind the bar. And ever since then, we've just been churning out hot burgers, Mrs. Mike's chips, cold beers, and just always being that place where you can come back home and see a face you know and hear a voice you like to hear.
You know, it's really true. It's crazy how it's really crazy how you can walk down here or come down here at any time during the day or in the evening. Not only have a good time, but more importantly, see somebody you haven't seen for such a long time. What do you think the draw is of this place?
Well, not only the history of one of the oldest buildings here in Freeport, it was built in 1898, and it's been a bar ever since in its inception, excluding the Prohibition years when it was a soda shop, if you can believe that. So I'm sure they're still serving some kind of sodas besides just your regular soft sodas. But you see the history of the building, and you always see the same face behind the bar. We're very consistent with who works here. There's always family here. And when I took over the bar, and I knew at a young age, my dad always had to let it be known that when he's here, people want to see him. They want to feel like they're family. They want to hear him say, "Hey, how you doing?" right when you walk in the door. You want to be greeted with a smile. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. When you come here, you're treated like family, and we're going to be consistent and treat everybody the same.
You know, I look at the ceiling. It has that, I don't know, what do you call that? Not parquet. What do you call that?
Tin.
Tin. You have the tin ceiling. You've done so many wonderful renovations, but you have kept the antique look of this bar. Was that purposeful, or is it just basically with the woodwork and everything? Is it just how it was supposed to be?
It's how it was supposed to be. Like I said, I grew up in this bar with my dad running the joint. I proposed to my wife Kaylee in this bar, and he built such a namesake. You can't just come in and change up everything. You can't shake up the whole thing because it's not just mine. It's so many people throughout the community and the city, and that they come down here, they want to feel the same way. They want to feel that warmth. They want to feel like they're coming back home. And the funny thing was when my wife and I took over, it was actually 10 years ago, just this past year. So my wife and I moved back from Chicago. I was working in PR and marketing. My wife was working out at Highland Community College. We moved back from the city because we always knew we wanted to get back to where our roots are. This is where we wanted to raise a family. This is where we wanted to make an impact. And so we moved back, and my sister Jilly was working in the kitchen. She was running the show. My dad was still running the show, but without my sister Jill making the kitchen come alive and trying new things and keeping him sane, it would not have been running as smoothly. But tragically, July 31st of 2015, she suddenly passed away. And my dad was a complete mess, as you can imagine. But we had, you know, that's life. You roll with the punches. A funny thing is for her funeral and the visitation, we basically shut down Galena Street up at Burke Tubbs because there were so many cars. And it was kind of neat to see all the beer distributors and the booze distributors. We had semis lined up on Galena. and all they would all stop because they couldn't park in the parking lot and basically took over Galena Street so they could all come in and wait in line for an hour just to pay their respects to Jill and my dad. And then, so I'm sitting there talking to my wife. I'm seeing my dad kind of trying to go through everything. Cause now he has to do two jobs essentially. And I asked my wife, I said, you know, if I go down and talk to him and he, you know, he could take care of us and, you know, I'll work full time. And if I can get paid a good enough wage, do you think it'd be all right if I switch careers, got out of my desk job and helped out dad? And Kaylee said, yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. And then it was my birthday, October 16th, the same year, about 3 months later, I'm getting out of a meeting over at M45 marketing with Joe Vasky. And I get a call that my dad's in the ER. He had three brain aneurysms. And so he went into a coma. And so that was like, all right, happy birthday. Back to the, that's all right. We handled Jill's passing, you know, with pressure comes privilege. You got to take advantage of the situation that's in front of you. So my brothers and I got together that following, like a week later on a Sunday. And actually before that, I told Kaylee, I said, you know what we have to do, right? And she said, and she looked at me 7 months pregnant with our first child on the way. And she says, we got to take over the bar, don't we? And I said, yep. And she looked at me and said, yep. So that following Sunday, I called my brothers, Ben and Jay. Jay's a great plumber here in Freeport. He doesn't have the ability to take that chance. My brother, Ben, is an actor. He was just starting a residency in Kansas City on their at their Broadway stage. It's not New York Broadway, but a very big theater. He's going to be out there for 6 weeks doing theater. So we sat down. We all poured up a mug of beer. And J-Bo looked at us and said, what the hell are we going to do with this place? And I took a nice drink and I put my beer down and said, Kaylee and I are taking it over. And they looked at me astonishedly and they was like, what? And I said, I already put in my 2 weeks. And they were just like, really? I said, yep. So we just went from there. I came in, I just started cleaning up everything, finding what I can do to make it better, more efficient. Cause like I said, growing up here, I knew how the bar was ran. I worked at Canova's. I know how restaurants were ran. And I've worked in marketing. I know how to push a product, or at least I like to think I know how to. I don't want to use some of those practices. So that got to, you know, just cleaning things up. And then my buddy Terry came aboard in the spring. And it was like 2 months later, our furnace went out, our air conditioner went out, and somebody tried breaking in the front window.
Wow.
So there you go. So we're 6 months in and I got a busted window and everything's broken. So I took a big chance and decided to close for the whole month of July. And that's when we ripped out the drop ceiling, found the original tin ceiling. Eric Haddad came in, helped me out with so many construction things. Mike Steinheiser came in and helped out with all the drywall and the painting. And Terry and I spent cumulatively 16 hours on scaffolding, cleaning this tin ceiling by hand and scrubbing and getting all the old lead paint, everything off that we could. We wore masks sometimes.
If you could visualize me looking up at the intricacy and the detail of this tin ceiling.
It's an original. I mean,
this is just amazing. It's just crazy.
A lot of these ceilings were in the majority of these buildings at the turn of the century. It was a staple, but a lot of the buildings that were bought up by maybe people from Chicago, they come in and rip them out and then they take them back to Chicago and they could sell them because they wanted that look in the Chicago area. So I was very lucky that I was there and having my buddy Terry likes to go to work with me. And sometimes I say we can get this done and he says, I don't know how, but he just says, let's do it. And we did it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing because when you walk in the door of Mort's, you sit here or you see this, all the great pictures and the bar and the tradition, but you don't know the story. And you just basically told this amazing story that has highs and has amazingly lows and so on. And you bring the story to light of how solid.
Speaking of story, Tim, I got to bring this guy in really quick. Yeah. Come here, Stevie. Just come say hi, Mr. Kuhlemeyer.
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good, buddy. Good. Thanks for coming down.
And who's that?
That's Mr. Steve Kuhlemeyer. When I started cooking at 13 years old, he was probably the first person I made a burger for. Him and his old buddy Tom, they come down every Saturday, sit at the back bar, give my dad so much crap. And then he'd ask my dad, Hey, Bart, you cut me off. My dad would always say, you're not cut off till you run out of money. But he's every Saturday he comes down and like he always says, you know, this is like family. It's his friends. We razz each other. You got to leave your thick skin at the door. We come here to have some fun.
So give me an estimate. How many family members, seriously, like Mr. Kuhlmeier and I come down, all these other individuals come down. How many family members do you have down here?
Oh, too many to count, Tim. It never ends. And they always come down and see me. And that's another thing. As much as I like to say the Martins being behind the bar or the same bartenders and the same people you see, like it's the same customers that make it feel like home as well. And you get to see not only like Steve, but his son Danny's over there and he'll bring in his kids. So there's Steve's grandkids. So there's just lineage and generations of families that continue to come down here. And that's one of my goals. We don't have slot machines. We don't have dollar beer nights. We close early. This is a family bar, and I want to keep it that way. You might come down here and see my kids bellied up to the bar. We don't have a babysitter. Eileen and Fitz, they say, well, let's go to the bar with Dad. And they'll just come hang out, read their books, and that's just the way I like to do it. I like to keep it all family-centric.
So you do so many other wonderful things around this community. What are some other things? I know Winneship Playhouse and some other. What are some other things that you work on around this community?
Well, I put a lot of work into the Chamber of Commerce and the Greater Freeport Partnership. I was there when that first started, and that was a fun learning process for me, learning the ins and outs of the city and how nonprofits can work with businesses to help grow the community, whether it's economically or tourism and business development. And then I also was on the Highland Community College Foundation Board for 2 years. And that was another great experience. Got to have my say in helping kids get scholarships, helping programs get money to expand, especially their ag program out there and their welding program. It's fun to see the success out of that. I've recently joined the Winneshek Theater, the Winneshek Players Board. And that's been such a joy of mine because growing up, I was a nutcracker at Empire School. I was in productions with you. And that's where I really learned how much I love theater. Having you as a coach went on.
Still one of Becky Connor's favorite roles was you in Working. She loved your character.
Thank you.
Working.
I was so happy to get that role. You let me do my own choreography for that.
I did.
I was so jacked up about that. I got to go up and put on my blue suede shoes and let it loose. And then obviously I went to Highland after that, got into theater, but also I was really into sports when I was young, played football for Cal Cummins, played baseball for Coach Tommy C. So I've always sponsored a little league team. And lucky enough, my son and daughter both got into baseball and softball. So every summer and spring, I'm out there coaching two teams, sponsoring the teams, just doing everything I can to taking every opportunity I can to help the community. And if my kids can be involved, that's great. And I think, but right now, going back to Winneshek, that has been, besides coaching my son and daughter, getting back involved with the community, helping with the latest program, the best Christmas pageant ever.
Was an incredible success.
Yes,
nice
it was.
Nice job, guys.
Sold out, first time three shows sold out at Winneshek in the past decade.
Nice job on that.
And that's Kate Stonecross does a great job directing up there. And she allowed me to come in and help out as much as I could. And it's something unique about really seeing these little kids and young adults. You know, I always talk to... when I look at my kids, yeah, they're kids. I want them to be kids. But sometimes you got to treat them. If you treat them like kids, they're going to act like kids. But you give them an opportunity and treat them a little bit older than they are. Give them a little bit more responsibility. The look in their eyes when they succeed at something that they did not know they could do, it just makes them more hungry, makes me more hungry. And overall, just the happiness and the glowing, the aura of the experience just shines through.
Two words on that one. Amen, brother.
Amen. I think you know all about that, too.
I know a little bit about it, but still, you're the best at that. And we're gonna finish off, speaking of the best in that, Mortz did something that, I'll tell you, when you contacted me to be a part of this, of course, anything you want me to be a part of, I'm going to be a part of. But I was just like, wow, Michael, how are we going to do this thing? And it was Mortz Dinner Theater. And Mike... it was some of the most fun that I have ever had. And I want you to really let people know what this Mortz Dinner Theater was all about. And for the hundreds of individuals that said to me, oh, I would have loved to have gone see it, but there weren't any tickets left. Da, 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 da. Well, get down here and get your tickets. Tell us about Mortz Dinner Theater, Mike.
Well, it was an idea that I concocted a few years ago. I've always loved the show Cheers, obviously growing up in a bar and, you know, being a 90s kid, those sitcoms were just always on at home. I loved it. And being into theater and script writing, I just had this crazy idea of taking some anecdotes from Cheers, different episodes, and flipping the script so it's based around Morts and the characters that are Morts. And everybody knows your own local tavern always has characters. There's always guys coming in with the stories, always a guy coming in making a bet, always a guy playing the games, telling the jokes. The story never dies. The night never dies until the tab is paid. And so I started working on this script, and it included all the old regulars like Iron Mike Reichert, Denny White, we call him Buffalo. Obviously my dad, Mort, my mom, Sherilyn, Dr. Jonathan Webb from HTC Fine Arts. And so I wrote this script, and, you know, it's three acts. And once I got the script kind of the way I wanted it, it was about the same time that I joined the Winnishek board. And I thought, this is the great catalyst I need to really make this thing move. Because I could, you know, I could go and try to get this production started, but without having that partnership to really relay, like, hey, it's not just about me trying to make a profit here or stroke my ego with this idea that I think is great. How can I use my abilities to help something else in our community? And right when I saw that, I said, bingo, this is it. And that's when I started reaching out to you, my brother Ben, Adam Mottero, Jim Yeager, got to meet Geffy, who just moved here from Wisconsin, and then the Rockford area. She's an amazing actress. And Angel Dotson, Corbin Webb, John's son, and everyone thought, yeah. And just like you did, yeah, this would be a cool idea, but how the heck are we going
to
do this?
I knew it was for Winnishek, so I thought, and I said to you like the first practice, I said, yeah, this will be great doing it down at Winnishek. And you were like, we're not doing it at Winnishek, Tim. Where did we do it, Mike?
We did it right here at Mort. So just like, and you were here, Tim, but anyone listening, just imagine being an extra on the set of Cheers. You come sit at the bar, you sit right next to where the action's happening. Brother Ben played Mort. He's walking up and down the bar. Corbin played Booty. One of the tables was part of the set. And so it was all immersive. So we had 30 people in here, two nights in a row, sold out show, 60 tickets over two nights, sold out in 6 hours.
Yep.
Sold out in 6 hours. And before that, though, I got to get my cooking on. I love to cook. I know my wife loves that, but she likes to cook too. But we did a 5-course dinner, and we charged $100 a ticket, and we were able to raise $2,000 for the Winnishek Theater. And for nonprofit, when you're dealing with just donors and volunteerism, to be able to give back that much money to help the children's theater, to help any production just have that little extra cushion, goes a long way. And it's recognition for Morts too. I want to keep that namesake, that not only do we innovate here, we're family here, but we always look to give back. And that's something I learned from my father, something I learned from my mother. She was a director of Head Start for nearly 3 decades. And I remember helping build the playground set at the King Center when it was built. I remember volunteering doing the King Center nights for Head Start. And my dad always making sure the baseball team was fed. And it's just those little things. You can't do everything. You can't change the world. There's nothing that you can do in one full swoop that can just change everything. But little things along the way, giving anything you can over time, it starts to make a difference, not only with yourself and your friends and your family, but it can be infectious. And hopefully other people see that and other people want to do whatever they can when they can do it. And that's just a goal of mine. Any chance I get, to any opportunity I get, I'm going to take it.
Yes, you do, Michael Martin, and you do make a difference. And we are not only proud of you, we love Morts. We love everything that you do. And thank you for being a part of this community. This has been Free Pod. Tim Beck to Tim Connors here.